This is the Live Your Edge podcast, episode 13. This is Gilbert. Welcome to the podcast. Today, my guest is Jeff Brewer, the Chief Operating Officer of Digital Eye Media. Jeff has 6 years of experience strategizing, creating, and executing successful digital marketing campaigns. He currently manages a digital marketing team with 15 plus years of experience in the digital marketing industry, working with brands such as IBM, Disney, Skechers Shoes, Public Storage, and more. In the last 12 months alone, Jeff has helped 10 clients create over $3 million in product launches. Today, he will share with you his secrets in product launches and other growth hacking techniques. Please join me in welcoming Jeff Brewer. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today, I have Jeff Brewer with me. Jeff is a very accomplished individual, and today we're going to talk about building niche communities, selling online to these communities, how Jeff got started in digital marketing, what he has been able to learn, and also the similar differences, and talk on how to bridge Asia and the US when it comes to online marketing. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Hey, Gilbert, what's going on, buddy? Thank you so much for having me. Really excited to be here with you and your audience today.
Great. So just jumping right in, how did you get started with digital marketing?
Yeah, so it's funny. I went to university at the University of Arizona and loved that school. It was a great school. I got into the business school there. And at that business school, I actually did two tours to China. And I was studying abroad there. I was learning a lot about just the Asian market in general and like doing business in China. And it was really great. And the second summer, so the first summer I went there and I did a full semester of our business school there. They had a really unique program where they flew 75 students in our business school along with the teachers in our business school. They flew us all to China and we had a full semester of our business school, 18 units, 6 months of the business school taught to us in 10 weeks. So it was like an expedited, semester of business school tailored to doing business in the Chinese market, which was super cool. So, learned a lot about business in China and I was super fascinated about that. And I loved it so much that my best friend and I actually decided to come back the next summer. And I worked for a private equity firm in Shanghai with about 30 people in that firm, all Chinese, about 4 people spoke English. And of the 4 people that spoke English, 2 people spoke it really well and 2 people spoke it, okay. So it was funny because I, had never studied Mandarin up until that point, but I quickly found out that if I wanted something at all, I was going to have to start learning Mandarin and learn how to start saying those things. So, I was really, interested in just how unique we were as still, even though the year I think was around 2011 and that time, being such an advanced time, but still how unique we were in one of the largest Asian countries and or Asian cities and cities overall in the world, that was China, how unique we were being, these social outgoing Americans that were interested in doing business in China. And it really interests me to see how could I potentially, be someone that could bridge the gap between businessmen in China wanting to do business in America or potentially businessmen in America that wanted to do business in China as well. So that really interested me. And actually the director of the private equity firm that I worked for offered me a job to come back after I was working, Merrill Lynch, finishing my last semester at Arizona. So I was actually going to go back, live in China after college. I liked it that much. And funny enough, at the time, my mom was the COO of the largest aircraft painting company. And they actually owned a digital marketing agency that did a lot of digital marketing for them, local businesses, and then some bigger businesses across the US. And in 2012, this largest aircraft painting company in the world was acquired for, I think $70 million. And it was a huge acquisition. But this private equity company, they only invested in, like energy, aviation, and medical companies. So the agency for them didn't make sense. So they spun the agency off and the CEO of the aircraft painting company at the time asked my mom, he said, "Hey, what should I do with this agency?" And she said, "Well, I would love to buy it." So at that time, she acquired the agency along with another partner. And as I was ready to go start my business career doing finance in China, she said, hey, instead of going to Shanghai in the next 2 months, how would you like to stay here, learn digital marketing, and help me grow this digital marketing agency startup? And I said, hey, you know, I've always known that entrepreneurship was going to be a great pillar of my life and path I would take. You know, why wait? Why not start it now?
So she bought the digital marketing agency?
Correct. Yeah, correct.
Oh, okay. So you didn't end up going back to China after that?
Yeah, so that prompted me and compelled me to want to stay and start this awesome family business with her and grow this digital marketing agency. And ever since April of 2012, I've been, you know, in the digital marketing space, growing this digital marketing agency. And then recently, about up until the last year, you know, I was working in digital marketing, helping clients, you know, from things like building websites, mobile apps, and growing their businesses online, you know, helping service-based companies get more leads coming into their business, and then e-commerce companies getting more sales from their website. And in doing so, you know, you really see like how difficult the digital marketing space is. You know, there's not a lot of barriers to entry to get into the space. There's a lot of companies that can provide like great services, although that we had amazing people on our team. You know, our niche was kind of like a, you know, the highest possible quality service we could provide for a lower price. So we found a good, you know, a good sweet spot to service some great local businesses, some growth companies. And then we even had a bunch of amazing Fortune 500 brands that we were working for as well. So in doing that, you know, we had a lot of great clients, you know, the money was good, it was fun, but there was always something deep down. There's always something missing for me. I think, you know, if you're listening and you're an entrepreneur out there, you know, you probably can, you know, can understand what I mean when you experience that kind of entrepreneurial itch where you want to be the face of the brand. You know, you want to be the one, you know, making videos, like recording podcasts like this one, you know, speaking. You want to have influence. You want to build your personal brand and not just build the brands of other businesses. So as I was doing the digital marketing agency, you know, this itch started growing more and more. And I always knew that I would want to go out and kind of start my own personal brand in addition to the agency that I had. But I knew that I couldn't just be offering everything to everyone like we were in the digital marketing space. I knew that there was a niche I had to put my stamp in the ground on, saying, hey, this is who Jeff Brewer is. This is what I do. And along that time, about a year and a half ago, was when I had the unique opportunity to work with an amazing client. They were an online poker company run by some of the top poker players in the world, one of who's Doug Polk, who is probably one of the, you know, most popular poker influencers online on social media and one of the top poker professional players as well. So they came to me and, you know, I was telling them about my expertise and skill set in product launches and helping people take their experience and expertise and craft that in a form of a digital product, such as an online course or a membership site, and then using a proven process and system that I had learned from the mastermind groups that I was in and the influencers that I was learning from and working with and the big multi-million dollar product launches I was launch hacking at the time and watching. And I told them I could help them roll out their first online course. And because at the time they just had a they're releasing a lot of free content. And then they also had like a $50 a month monthly membership. And then I had like a $300 a month monthly membership. So I told them, I said, hey guys, do you know, right now, there is a percentage of your audience that will buy a $1,000 digital course from you tomorrow. And they said, yeah, that's so funny you say that, because we've been thinking about creating our first digital course as well. So I helped them and we went to work and, you know, we started really trying to understand from their audience and surveying their audience, what was the, you know, if we were to create a digital course, what segment of poker would they want to learn from? And they told us, you know, we want to learn more about Pot Limit Omaha, which is kind of like the newest trending game in poker. And sure enough, we created a digital course that was a $1,000 course around the subject that their audience wanted to learn. With a lot of hard work and a lot of effort through this product launch, we launched the product, and it's a 17-day launch sequence that I helped them go through in 5 days of open cart, where you're offering the product and making it available to their audience to buy. And in that 5 days, they were able to generate $305,000. And that first launch of helping them make $305,000 in 5 days to their internal audience was really my, you know, stake in the ground that, hey, I think product launches could be like the next thing that I really start focusing on and building my personal brand around. So that was about a year and a half ago. And ever since, you know, since then, in about 12 months, I've helped 10 other launches do over $3 million in live launch revenue within that same 1 week time frame.
Wow. So within the week, you're able to help them go from zero to, say, 300,000 on average.
Correct. And yes, there's not really an average. There's like a lot of brands, whether you're just starting out or, personal brands or entrepreneurs or, bigger marketing teams that are built around one or multiple experts, there's not really like an average number. I think it's just, have you been doing this for a while? Like, do you have a list? Do you have an audience? Do you have a social following? Cause there's two types of people, right? That in regards to your list and your audience size, it's the people that haven't started and then the people that want to grow theirs and make it bigger. So you really just have to try and understand like, who are you? Where are you in the process of building your online business? And then we create and help people who are, whether you're just starting out, you're trying to grow and scale and take it to the next level, you're one of the top experts in your space and in your niche, and you really want to take even your launches to the next level with a lot of next level launch hacks. We have different solutions for those different types of customers and launchers to really help them understand how they can get started in this product launch process next.
So how much does it vary, say the poker launch? I'm sure that the people behind it are already influencers in that space. They're professional poker players and they already have a reasonable following. So if someone that just starts off and, they started out, they build a product with you and they want to launch it, what type of results you think they could be seeing? I mean, I know it varies based on industry, based on your experience. How much does it vary to have a following to start with versus to start from scratch?
Sure. So I think really it's not so much about, how much can I make on the first launch? I think it's more about how do I build a business on the backbone of this product launch process? And a lot of people, they think, the success or the failure of a product launch is made within the product launch itself. But I always say the success or the failure of the product launch is really made in the pre-launch phase, where it's the period leading up to your pre-launch and launch. Like, what are you doing to build your, what value are you giving for free? How are you answering the questions that people in your market are asking? How are you trying to solve the problems that, your fans and followers have leading up to your launch so that there's a huge value exchange, even for free or some low cost offers that you can create as well before the launch comes. That way, when you do your launch and you have what I call, your free launch workshop, where how this process happens is we release a 4-part video series. And this process I've learned from my mentor, Jeff Walker, who's been teaching product launches for, doing this process since 2005, and then also using webinars where I've developed and harnessed my webinar process from my other mentor, Russell Brunson, who's the CEO of ClickFunnels, a $100 million online software company. And he's built his software business on the backbone of his webinar system. So I've learned and studied from these top marketers and these top launches around how they do their system. And I've developed my own system that's, based on pretty much everything I've learned. And a big part of this system, it's adding value to your audience before the launch itself, and then invite them to attend a premium online workshop where you're releasing a series of free videos where you're doing a combination of educating, storytelling, adding value to them for free. And then after they watch these 4 videos, you can then make an offer to either a membership site or a digital course, where you can tell them, hey, if you want to learn more about the specific subject that, we just went in detail about, and all of you were telling me you got such great information and value from it, and you're asking me like, hey, how can you go to the next level? How can you work with me on a deeper level? And then you go into making an offer for one of those, a digital course or a membership site there. And then you can bring a percentage of the audience that went through your free online launch workshop into your paid community, and then really help them take their life or their business to the next level, whatever your product is. So it's a lot about the pre-launch phase, like how are you adding value before the launch? And then as long as you're doing that, you're going to then send people into your paid program. And then it's a lot about what are you doing after that launch? So how are you, once you get buyers, how are you delivering to them to deliver the most optimized, valuable experience to not just make money on the first launch, but get as many success stories as possible so that you can then after that have multiple subsequent launches where you're able to share the transformation, the unique success stories that you're able to create. And that's really how you can then develop new products where, you know, maybe you have group coaching programs or an online mastermind or live events, right? Like, and that's really the beauty of this whole product launch process. You do, you know, you can do one launch and then that leads to multiple launches. And then that leads to multiple products that you can sell your audience. But it all starts with adding value up front for free and then continuously delivering great value and bringing your audience through that transformation so that they can become your greatest and next success stories. And then you could can ascend them through the different higher priced products in your value ladder. And then you keep doing that over and over again. And that's really, again, how you can create an online business in the year of 2018 on the backbone of a product launch.
So what I hear you saying is the product launch itself is not nearly as important as what you do before and after the product launch, which is adding value, giving free content, and making sure that the customer experience is very valuable, very premium.
Yeah, I think it's definitely important, right? Like, don't get me wrong there, but I think where a lot of the myths about online product launches or, you know, whether it's through this four-part video series or whether you're selling on a webinar is that, hey, I did it once, I tried it, it didn't work. Or, hey, my friend tried that and it didn't work, so I'm not going to try it, right? So these people, it's kind of a foregone conclusion that, you know, just because it didn't work the first time, I'm not going to do it again. When really what great things in life come to us that easily anyway. So I think, you know, if you are someone that you have something to offer, something, you know, experience to share, you're an expert in something that, you know, you can teach people. And even if you're not an expert, maybe you just know, you know, a little bit more than the people that you want to teach. And you want to teach some beginners in a specific, you know, subject, whether it's teaching people how to become a better tennis player, a better, you know, a better golfer, how to play the guitar, you know, how to build your business online, selling products on your e-commerce website, how to, you know, grow an Amazon store. You know, these are all, there's so many different niches online. There's so many different businesses out there that, you know, there's so many different types of entrepreneurs that I've even helped do these product launches for. But I think at the end of the day, you need to ask yourself, is this something I'm truly passionate about? Is this something that I can truly develop, you know, offer some unique value and that I can create a unique value proposition around to where I can, you know, educate, entertain, provide value, answer questions, solve problems that people face so that people will want to learn more from me on an ongoing basis. You know, so many people today, they're kind of, you know, they're going through the shiny object syndrome of, oh, hey, this guy's making money online and he's telling me that he can help me make money online. When really, if you're just chasing the dollars and you're chasing like the shiny objects, you're never gonna have true success, because at the end of the day, like this stuff, it takes work, it takes effort, it's hard. But if you're truly passionate about helping people and serving your audience on the greatest level, then you are someone who's significantly gonna be able to get through those roadblocks and those challenges, and you're never gonna you know, you're never going to fail because you're never going to give up. So it's just, you know, one launch is just the start, really. And I always say, like, whether the launch is successful or not from a revenue standpoint, it's successful because you've learned a lot about what your customer wants, what value you can give them, how you can provide them with the freedom that they're looking for in their business or in their life, and how you can take their business and their life to the next level. It's really just committing to yourself that if you want to grow a business in your specific segment and do it in a really unique way through an online business, there's no better way to do that than through a product launch.
Love that. And I know a lot of people listening, I've spoken with a number of people that, you know, they can be experts in their fields, but they themselves don't feel like they are particularly experts. And when you mentioned a good point that really an expert can be classified as someone that knows just a little bit more than average individual in that space. And that's why you mentioned about these niche communities, because these niche communities have a specific need in which you as that expert can serve that need and create products and deliver value to them.
Absolutely, man. And I think too many people today, they're getting, you know, I think everyone's interested today, right, in this year of like this whole movement of entrepreneurship, right? Like entrepreneurship, you know, quote unquote, has never been cooler than it is today. It's been, that's because it's never been possible to be an online entrepreneur in the way that it is today with, you know, this amazing thing that we have, such as the internet and these social media platforms where you can target individuals on such a unique level. You know, if you go back to like how our grandparents lived in a time where if you wanted to start a business, you know, there were a few media companies that owned all the media through TV and radio. and you just broadcasted whatever, you know, sales and marketing information you had. And it pretty much was a lot of, you know, door knocking and cold calling, right, to try and acquire customers. Today, you can sit, you know, in your board shorts and, you know, use Facebook and Instagram and, you know, Snapchat and Twitter and YouTube and broadcast the message to thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of people across the world at scale and targeting them based on, you know, gender, demographic, their interest, all these different things on Facebook and Instagram using the Facebook advertising platform. Like it's never been a better time to be alive, and it's never been a better time to be someone who wants to be an entrepreneur and grow an online business. But I think at the same time, so many people, they're getting so wrapped up with the, oh, what do, like, I want to do that, but what do I sell, right? Like, that's the first question I hear all the time is, hey, how do I sell? How do I make money? You know, what will people buy? Like, how can I be unique? And the question is, and the answer to that question is often, I don't know. Like, I don't know the answer to that question. But what I do know is how to find that answer out. And how to find that answer out is to start analyzing your competitors of what is out there in the current landscape of whatever expertise, unique experience you have. See what people are doing, see what questions people are asking, see what comments people are leaving on the social channels, and see how you can come into the conversation of those online communities, whether it's, you know, Facebook groups, you know, the comment section of other influencers in your space, and start creating content on your own social channels, right? Whether it's through, you know, the written word of a blog or a Medium post, or whether it's through, you know, image-based content on Instagram or Facebook or Pinterest, or whether it's through video content on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. Start putting content out and entertain, educate, add value to people in your space, and, you know, run some paid advertising targeting those people that you're trying to go after in your audience, and see what people are reacting to. See how you can help solve their problems and answer the questions that they have, and see how they're commenting on your content, see how you can see what they're liking, see what they're not liking, and keep doing that over and over and over again. And I promise you, the answer to the question of what do I sell, it'll happen for you. One of my really good friends who I've had the pleasure to work with in our agency, his dad's a medical doctor. And, you know, about 5 years ago, he really kind of went out against the medical industry, the, you know, doctors and like the medical industry as a whole, and said, you know, hey, we're doing a lot of wrong here. Like, there's too many people that are getting prescribed prescription pills that don't need to be prescribed these pills just to try and solve their problems. And a lot of these issues they're facing can be solved with natural remedies through, you know, exercise and organic medicine and doing just things the natural organic way. So he just started creating content about pretty much going against the medical industry, this doctor saying like, hey, a lot of the things you're having, whether it's how to treat cancer, how to treat these different like illnesses you're facing, they can be solved by eating right, eating properly. They can be solved in the kitchen. They can be solved by working out on your own. And he just started putting these amazing videos on YouTube. And sure enough, like the whole, you know, there's so many people in his community just started following him, loving his content. And he just started putting out free videos for, you know, a year or two. And then it got to the point where people were like, you know, Dr. G, like, I would love to pay you for your time to get your expertise on how I can improve my specific situation. Or, hey, these are the supplements I'm taking. Like, what supplements do you think that I should take? I would love to buy supplements from you. And really, that, like, you just listen to your audience. You listen to the comments you're leaving. They are leaving. And you can do what's called an ask survey, where you can pretty much go to the hot market you're in, ask your customers, you know, hey, what's the single biggest problem or challenge when it comes to the subject you're facing? Ask them what we call a market demographic question that could be, you know, whatever you need, whether it's age, you know, where they live, you know, their sex. In my space, it's typically like, what stage of your business are you in? And then the most important one, which is the product demand question, which is, hey, if one of the four product options were available for you to buy today, which of the four would you most likely purchase? And then you survey 10 people, you know, live through a text message or a Facebook Messenger survey, and then you take the overwhelming winner from that product demand question, and then you make a product out of that. And then you can go and do what I call is the growth hack launch, where essentially you announce to your people following you and your social media following or the email list you've collected up until this point by putting out content and offering, you know, a lead magnet to collect emails. You can then say to them like, hey, I have this really cool launch workshop I'm going to do, and I'm going to create a new product around the product that you guys have told me that you want to purchase. You sell that product to them. And then before you even create the product, you're selling it, you're bringing in revenue, right? So then once people buy the product, you create it live with them. And then you, again, you answer the questions they have, you go through your outline of the product, you answer the questions they have, you solve the problems that they're facing through a 6 to 8 week online training where you can go, you know, an hour and a half of you training, coaching them through a webinar format, do 30 minutes to 60 minutes of Q&A, you know, for 6, 8, 10 weeks, and then take all that information, all the recordings, take all the questions they had, all the answers you provided, all the additional problems they face, repurpose that into a 2.0 segment, like a new 2.0 version of the product that's more polished, and then do what's called an internal launch and launch it again to a new and improved social media following and email list. And then there you have it. You have a new online business that you've launched just by putting out content and adding value, storytelling, and really serving your hot market in a way that no one else can. And I love this strategy around the growth hack launch of selling the product before you create it and then creating it live with your audience. Because the biggest problem I see today, Gilbert, is there's so many people that they spend so much time and money creating a product that they don't even know that people want to buy. And then they go to release it and no one buys it. And they just launched, they just lost 3 months, 6 months, 12 months of their life and time, and tens of thousands or potentially, you know, even more than that in terms of dollars, right? Just because they didn't start putting out content in advance and survey and ask their audience what they want to buy. And if you do that, find out what your audience wants, sell it to them before you even make the product, make it with them live so you can tailor it specifically to your audience needs, wants, and desires. You have a foolproof, 100% guaranteed system of creating a product that people are gonna love, share, and buy again and again.
I love that. What you're saying is to work with your audience in creating that product. I heard somewhere where you collect a number of questions that your audience has for you pertaining to that specific niche, and then creating a table of contents for your product with that. And then like they're treated as chapters, and then you would build out your product, and then you would just sell that product to them. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a great strategy, right? And I'm a big fan of using data, right? Like I come from, you know, as a finance guy, I'm a very analytical person. I don't like the approach of throwing, you know, crap on the wall and seeing what sticks. I like having a hypothesis around something and testing the hypothesis and then getting feedback and then using that data to consistently improve your hypothesis until it's correct to a degree, and then how can you continuously make it better and better on an ongoing basis. So the beauty of this is that you can do this for your free content that you're putting on, you know, your blog or on social media for free to add value to your audience, to get them on, you know, to follow you, to subscribe to you, to get them on your email list. And then you can also do this in regards to your paid membership or your digital course, where you're making sure that the content you're creating is the content they want to read, watch, and learn from, and the content that they're going to consume and share, right? So a big thing that we do is, yeah, we analyze what is the highest trending content the other influencers and competitors in your space are sharing. So you can use tools like BuzzSumo, where they will break down and show you, hey, here are the most, you know, shared pieces of content on social in this specific topic. You can go and see what are the, you know, in the comment section, what other questions are people asking. You can go into Facebook communities or forums, Facebook groups, and see what are the questions people are asking, right? And you'll see patterns, you'll see, you know, similarities between different thought process, different concerns, and then that will spark ideas in your head to where you can create your unique thoughts and insights around the specific topics and answer those questions. You can use tools like Google and their keyword search planner that will show you what are monthly search question-based search queries that people are typing into Google and asking, and which of those question-based search queries has the highest search volume, because that shows you the most people each month are searching for this specific question, and then you start answering the questions that people are asking most often. So again, you can do that on the free content level, writing about it, posting that content on your podcast, making it available through audio, or posting it through, you know, image and video format on your social media. And then you can also take that to the next level and then put those pieces of content in your paid membership or digital course programs as well.
So how do you determine what content you treat as free, like based on those questions that you find out on these websites, and which content would you actually put into your paid course?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. The huge distinction that people make is they often, and this is where I think a lot of people fail, is they think, you know, hey, I need to save my best stuff for the paid program. I need to only give them a teaser, a snippet, a bite-sized consumable piece of content for free. Then they'll want more and more, and they'll need to pay me for it. Where I actually think, and I've seen a lot of people do this very well, and I think the opposite to be true. So you look at some of the top influencers in the world, like Gary Vaynerchuk or Russell Brunson, who give away their best stuff for free, Gilbert. Literally their best ideas, their best thoughts. They give it all away for free on their YouTube channels and in their, you know, in their books. And I'm totally along the same lines, because when it comes down to it, most of the people that are consuming your content aren't actually going to take action on it anyway. So there really is no downside of you giving your best stuff away for free. The degree of difference that I make between my free content and your premium content and your paid content and then your content you're giving to your coaching clients is each element of paid content, the higher the price, the closer the proximity you come to me as the expert and the influencer that is giving you this content. So being someone who's in Russell Brunson's mastermind community, it's his highest level, it's his highest program. If you want to get into it today, he only has 100 spots available, and it's closed. It's not even open to the public. He'll open a few spots a year, and it's $50,000 a year to join. If you go to his website where he doesn't even sell his books. He gives away his free books. He teaches us the same content in that mastermind that he gives away for free in his books. So as someone listening to that, you might be asking, well, Jeff, what the heck do you pay this guy, you know, that much money a year for if you can get all his content for free? Well, it's a great question, because I'm not paying him necessarily to learn the content, because I've already learned it from him. I'm paying him to ask specific questions about how can I apply that content to me and my business and my specific situation in specific campaigns or launches or, you know, joint venture partner relationships that I have, and how can I get, and I'm paying for exclusive access to the community of 100 of the top marketers in the world that he's putting together. So it's proximity to the influencer and the expert, and it's proximity to the network and the community of other higher level entrepreneurs that he's putting together for us, right? So do not make the mistake of only sharing some content that's good for free and keeping all the amazing stuff for, you know, in the paid side. Give away your best stuff for free. I think it's just the level of granularity and in-depthness you go, that has to take place in your digital course, in your membership site, right? Like, you can't be putting out, you know, necessarily like 50 hours of like your premium course content, or even 20 hours of your premium course content for free, because people just don't necessarily like have the time to sit down and consume that much content at once. Like, I like putting, you know, and you have to understand what's the consumption behavior of the audience on each social channel, right? So for example, people on Instagram, they're scrolling through quickly, right? So you have to have captivating images and like quote cards and, you know, really compelling like short videos that are, you know, no longer than a minute in length. Whereas, you know, Facebook is the same way. Like Facebook, you know, you're not going to have videos that are more than a couple minutes in length. You know, you have those meme style videos with big headlines in the top and the bottom, and, you know, the time scroll bar that we're all seeing with subtitles. Like, a lot of people are watching those videos on, you know, without the sound on. So you need to kind of compel them with a big hook so that they either turn the volume on or continue to watch that video. And that's why viral videos do so good on Facebook, because as people are scrolling through quickly, a viral video can, you know, capture their attention to make them want to watch more. But then you go to YouTube, and YouTube it's a channel where people are sitting down, probably watching that content on their, you know, either they're on the couch on their phone, or they're watching it on a desktop from their desk, and they're in there, you know, surfing through videos. They're consuming longer form content with the sound on over a longer period of time. They want to be, you know, entertained and educated over longer periods of time, right? So you're still going to take all your same value, but you're going to put it into the different time formats, into the different content creation mechanisms that are native to the way that users are consuming content on each social channel.
So with all these channels out there, it's very easy to be consumed with going on multiple channels. And I mean, down the road, you should be doing that. But in starting in the beginning, I think a lot of people starting out would be overwhelmed with, oh, there's Facebook, there's Instagram, there's LinkedIn, there's YouTube. How do they determine which channel to go for? Or is it based on their research that they've done with their audience and where their audience is going to, like you said?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the thing that I laugh at all the time that I hear a lot of people say is, well, hey, you know, I'm in the B2B space. My customer's not on Facebook. You know, buddy, I don't know if you noticed, but everyone's on Facebook, right? It doesn't matter what B2B business you have. It doesn't matter, you know, where you think your customer is. Everyone's on Facebook. But I do think that, like you said, there are channels that might be more heavily influenced on specific platforms. There might be, there might be industries or audience segments that like consuming content from a certain way better than others, right? So, for example, still on that note, if you're in the B2B space, like your specific, you know, CFO, CTO, you know, CMO, target market customer, they might react better to content such as content that's longer form written in a white paper format that you're marketing on LinkedIn or, you know, targeting on Facebook, you know, with the targeting segment of employees of, right? So, you know, that might work better in the B2B space. But if you're, you know, a fashion brand or a swimwear brand, you know, images on the Instagram social media platform, using Instagram influencers and Instagram models, that might be like a better segment, you know, image-based content or short videos with, you know, women modeling in the swimwear with, you know, background music, right? So it's kind of like, first, primarily, let's understand who the customer is, what channels are they on, how are they consuming content on those channels? So let's start there. And then how can we creatively expand our reach and our audience to other users on other channels after we start with that primary pillar first, right? I think how people mess this up is they try to be everywhere at once, omnipresent, but instead of putting unique content on each channel based on how the users of those channels are consuming that content, they're just publishing the same video to four different channels, right? Like, that's not what you want to do, because like we just talked about, people don't consume content on the same channels in the same way. So you're being disrespectful in a way to the audience by not respecting how they consume content on that channel. But I think where a lot of people still, you know, might be lacking, or they can really be taking their content to the next level, is really understanding where the trends in media are going, right? As a consumer, time has become such a critical, it always has been, but it's become even more of a critical component and critical aspect of our time, right? So time is so valuable today that we, as marketers and as business owners, we need to be respectful of that time. And that's why I think, you know, we are together on a podcast right now, because podcasts are the new, you know, I think the media and the consumption of the research is showing that now more than ever, podcasts are growing, and that trend is going to continue to grow in the future. So I do think, because audio is, it's the one way of consuming content where you can be multitasking, right? I can't really watch a video and be doing my work, right? I can't really be effectively, you know, scrolling through Instagram and like working out or walking my dog as well. So I think because audio and podcast format is the one mechanism that allows you to consume the content and multitask, whether it's taking a shower, walking your dog, working out, driving in the car, you know, continuing the work. I think that medium is something that everyone is going to need to be doing in, you know, right now and in the near future. So I see audio and podcasts is continuously growing big, but I also think that consumer attention is still wrapped in, you know, the mobile device itself, right? So you need to be really great at image-based and video-based content as well. And I think it's not so much, you know, I think it's definitely important to understand the trends of where media consumption by the consumer is going, and, you know, and not just the future, but the present. But let's not get too ahead of ourselves by saying like, hey, you know, we need to be forecasting like what our VR strategy is, right? Like, I think we're still, from a consumer standpoint, not at that point yet. But at the same time, we need to ask ourselves, like, what we need to be really self-aware. What are we best at, right? So some people, for example, might say, okay, well, blogging and, you know, the written form of content is dead. well, maybe you're a better writer than you are someone who's comfortable in, you know, in front of a video, making videos. So if for you, if you're really self-aware and you're saying, hey, I'm a great writer, but I don't really like making videos, you know, I don't really like taking photos, I would say you need to write. You need to have a blog, be running paid ads to that blog. You need to be on Medium and write longer form content on Medium. You need to be on social media and writing longer form blog size content on Facebook as well. Get in Facebook communities and Facebook groups and be responding in long form format, adding a lot of value to people's questions. So don't just think about how's the consumer consuming that medium and that content, but what are you best at, and be self-aware of what you're best at, and use that as a focal point to start.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, there's a lot of value in here that, I mean, we can talk days about this specifically. One of the questions, because we're getting to the finish point of our cast today, there's a question that's just in my mind, because you mentioned your experience in China, in Asia, and I just want to get your take on, in the future, where do you see like the US, China, and digital marketing in general? Where do you see it all going? Because in China, you got WeChat. They consolidated pretty much all the apps, and the traffic is all going into WeChat. And then they have these platforms in which influencers, you know, the strategy is slightly different. Here in the US, you might sell a course for $1,000. China might be $10. But instead of having maybe 10, 20, 100, 300 customers in the US, you might be getting like 10,000 students signing up for your 90-minute, you know, webinar or course. So where do you see the like the convergence between the two, and how, you know, someone in the US or someone in Asia could learn from, you know, the East and the West can learn from each other in this arena?
Sure. Well, I think one of the biggest things today that has in the past, that is currently, and that will in the future always transcend regions, is the ability to leverage people of influence in your space, whether it's, you know, Instagram, you know, influencers here, whether it's key opinion leaders, you know, in Asia and overseas, the ability to leverage their audience and their brands and reaching out to them to do things like this, to have them on your podcast, interview them, or to promote your, you know, your physical product, or to do some type of collaboration that you can then promote to their audience and then leverage their audience by giving their audience a free gift to then come and be a part of your audience. There's so many things that you can do to leverage key opinion leaders just by starting creating a relationship with them, right? See how you can add value to them. See what are the things they're working on. What are the things they're doing? What projects do they currently have? What nonprofits are they working for? Do they have a book that's coming out? How can you help them promote that book? How can you put them on? You know, a lot of those key opinion leaders, they're going to be doing a lot more things for free to try and promote themselves and their brand when they have, you know, a book coming out or a new, you know, promotion coming out or a new line coming out. So those are new, those focal points in their business processes become opportunities for you as an entrepreneur to create a relationship with them and see how you can add value to them. So whether it's influencers in the US or key opinion leaders in Asia and overseas, I think it's, you know, that is something that will always stand the test of time as being a way that you can really add value and growth hack their audience to then segment some of that audience over to yours and develop a long-term relationship with them over time. So I think that's a big trend that I think will continue to be the course of that. And that's something that with all the clients we work with, we're consistently teaching them the best way to really scale and grow your company and take it to the next level. Once you have a highly successful converting launch, is finding the top Dream 100 partners in your space that you can add value to, create a compelling reason, story, and you know, system and process for them to help promote your product to their audience, whether it's, you know, putting their brand up or whether it's paying them a commission for any sale that they make for you. There's, you know, as humans, it's just our natural behavior. There's always things we're trying to do better. There's always things we want. So how can you creatively get in the mix of these key opinion leaders and these influencers to see what they're working on, what they want, and how can you help deliver or bring that thing to them in a way that no one else can? So I think that's a huge trend I'm always looking at, and I'm always going to continue to look at moving forward, and whether that's all over the world, whether it's here or in Asia. I think the next biggest thing, and a huge trend that we've seen in the last year, is, you know, Messenger and Messenger marketing, and specifically through Facebook Messenger. A lot of our product launches in the last year, we've been using Facebook Messenger as a way to communicate with our audience that we never have before. So as we see email open rates go down, and some of the top people in our spaces, you know, they're seeing open rates of 20%. You know, that's amazing. But you're looking at Facebook Messenger and you're seeing open rates in the 80 to 90% level. So how can we communicate with our audience on these messenger platforms, whether it's Facebook Messenger in the US or WeChat in Asia and overseas, to help develop more of an organic, unique relationship that helps us stand out more? I think there's still so many marketers and entrepreneurs that are not taking advantage of the messenger platform and systems to develop more of a unique, authentic relationship with their audience by giving them things for free, by making, you know, giving them a reason to continuously look at communicating with you through these messenger platforms in a way, and in a time where email is, you know, email is going down, like email open rates are going down. So how do you look at these other platforms and methods like Messenger to establish that relationship with your audience? Because as these messenger platforms continue to be used by marketers and entrepreneurs, right, the open rates there are going to start going down as well. So we really need to strike while the iron's hot. And even though they've been around for a little over a year now, I think it's still a great area of opportunity to start developing a relationship through Messenger with your audience now. So I think those are two things that I'm really looking at. It doesn't really matter where you are in the world, but leveraging the influential people in your space, and then how are you leveraging the messenger platforms as well.
I love that. Just helping people in your, like, key opinion leaders, influencers in your space. And it's like what Zig Ziglar says, if you help enough people get what they want, ultimately you will get what you want.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's, you know, I think the people in any space that fail, they fail not because they did the wrong thing. They fail because they quit before they found the right thing to do. So any space, no matter the space you're in, if you can continue putting out content until you find exactly what it is that your audience wants to hear, if you continuously put out content to understand what problems they have that you can solve, what questions they have that you can answer, there's no failure that you will reach. It's just a matter of doing it and doing it right in a way that you can gain momentum and continuously add value in a way that no one else can. And I think another thing I'm seeing is people see competitors in other spaces and they'll think, well, you know, Rob is already doing, you know, Facebook ads, or, you know, Janie's already talking about Facebook, but Facebook's my area of expertise, so I don't want to create, you know, digital products online, and I don't want to build my personal brand. I'm just going to continue to do Facebook for other people. But really, it's not so much as an expert and as an authority, how is your content different than your competitors? Is how is the unique message that you're putting out as a human, as a person, different? Because at the end of the day, people are buying into you. They're buying into your personality. They're buying into your persona as an online authority. They want to develop a relationship with you. They want to learn from you as a person. And then the extra value and gold you deliver as an influencer and an expert to them is really just, you know, the thing that's going to keep them there. But at the end of the day, like, we're attracted to the personality, the mindset, you know, the unique things about the expert as a person and as a human first, and not just their content. So I think too many people get bogged down by, hey, my content's not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I can't put enough content out. When really, if you just start putting out content and listening to your audience, see what questions they're asking that you can answer, see what problems they have that you can solve, be consistent, put yourself out there, be vulnerable, tell stories, you will get better and better. And it doesn't matter like who you are. Anyone that starts out, like, they're bad, they suck, right? But if you can get over that hump, if you can continue to put out content until you build momentum, you're going to get better. You're going to get better until then you're really great, and you're going to be someone that's really unique, and then you're going to be someone that can really help a lot of people and change the lives of many over the course of, you know, years and decades. So I think it's a really exciting time that we're living through now.
How many years did it take you before you finally, like, kind of got over the hump that you just mentioned?
Well, I think it's something that I'm still struggling with, man. I mean, I think it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's not something that, it's not, you know, a black and white thing. It's not a thing that you, hey, one day I'm scared of putting out content and then one day I'm the best in the world at it, right? It's kind of like the analogy of the email list I said earlier, where it's, you know, there's two categories of people. There's people that have an email list and people that have a social following but want to make it grow and want to make it better. And there's people that don't have one but want to start. It's the same way with putting out content. There's people that aren't putting out content, that aren't trying to develop their brand online now. And then there's people that are, but those people that are, they're constantly evolving. They're constantly trying to add more value to their audience in a deeper way. And they're constantly trying to get better. So it's not, it's never something that you reach a point to where you're like, okay, I'm good, I'm great, I don't need to improve anymore. Because the second you get, you know, satisfied, you get comfortable, that's the second that you become vulnerable to someone else coming in and serving your audience and fulfilling their needs, wants, and desires, and delivering a, you know, higher quality relationship to them in a deeper, more meaningful way. So I think staying hungry is super important. You know, consistently being vulnerable, telling amazing stories, seeing how you can deepen your relationship with your audience over time. That way, as new competitors enter your market, you have these long-term relationships with your, you know, friends, followers, and audience that's not going to get penetrated by new people coming into the market, right? So it's something that I'm trying to consistently improve on every day. It's something that I'm trying to consistently push and improve my clients to get better at, to want more, to strive for, you know, something greater in life and serve their audience in a deeper way. So I think it's something that's never finished, but I think it's something that can be improved every single day.
Oh, amazing, man. A lot of gold nuggets in here. Do you have any last words for the audience today as we wrap up?
Sure. So I think, you know, Gilbert, one thing I wanted to tell your audience is I wanted to leave you guys with a really cool gift. So we talked about that $305,000 in 5-day product launch that we did. And I want to give you guys a free gift. So if you go to launchhackerlab.com, again, it's launchhackerlab.com, I break down the entire behind the scenes analysis of how we did that product launch from start to finish, everything that went into it, and how you can really model that same launch to start with your very own growth hack launch. And I want to give that to you guys absolutely free. I ship something to you absolutely free that takes you behind the scenes of that launch. All you have to do is just cover the shipping. But again, if you go to launchhackerlab.com, you can get that for free. And I think the biggest thing I want to leave your audience with is, you know, so many people, they stop moving forward because they think they need to make things perfect before they get started. And really, you know, having the excuse of wanting to make things perfect, it just makes you procrastinate on what you're really meant to do, what you were born to do. And every second, every day that you're not helping someone, you're not taken away from the content you could be putting out there. You're taken away from the people that you could be helping and serving and changing their lives. So I think, you know, don't do it for you, do it for them. So consistently, like, that is something that really pushes me to be more aggressive and consistent with putting out content, wanting to help and serve people at a deeper level. Is, you know, in this game of life, you're not playing for money, you're playing for legacy. Like, how many people can you help? And I think the one consistency I've seen in the online space is the more content you put out, the more value you give, the more people you try to help change their lives, the more of a deeper impact you can leave. So keep putting out content, keep trying to see how you can help serve people on a deeper level, and you'll start to see your not just your life change, but the community that you create lives change also.
Oh, I love that. And if people want to find out more about you and follow you, where can they find you?
Yeah, where they can find more about me is, again, just go to launchhackerlab.com. There's a lot more about me and my company and some of the clients we've worked with. And then they can also follow me on Instagram at Jeff_Brewer. I put a lot of awesome content out every day there.
Great. So with this, we'll conclude our episode today. Great having you on the show, Jeff.
All right, awesome. Gilbert, thank you so much, buddy.
Thanks a lot.
Take care. See you guys.
See ya. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. You can find more episodes every Tuesday. If you haven't done so, please subscribe for more updates as they come. Until next time.